All right, everyone, welcome to May's Sidekick Plus monthly workshop. First of all, so excited for y'all being here. I'm very grateful for you being a member of Sidekick Plus, whether you're watching live or in the future. I've got a few slides today all about answer engine optimization. I'm going to describe to you what it is, why it matters, and also share with you some fun things that I did with ChatGPT live because right now we're at an age where readers are actually turning to ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, and other chatbots for book recommendations. And this presents a problem because we don't know how we can get our books recommended in these recommendations. And wouldn't we like that? We want to get sales, right? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, how you are able to start to get more discovery in these answer engines. And also, I'm going to share some hot topics on, is it really worth it? Like, is this going to be a big channel, right? Because whenever anyone talks about like a new discovery platform, a new thing, we have to always question it and be like, is this worthwhile for us? So I'll say this up front. In a world of AI, what matters most is gaining the trust of real people. AI amplifies. That's how I think about AI. So if there's already a lot of trust that readers have in you, I think AI can do a really good job at amplifying that. And we'll dive into exactly how this is working because it's kind of wild. And I think it's really, really interesting. And it's always people over algorithms. And AI is just a very, very complicated machine learning algorithm, right? And it's people first. Our customers are not algorithms. They're not AI chatbots. They're readers. So if we can focus on just making our readers happy, I think that's always the number one thing. But given that, we do want to dive into this answer engine optimization. Now, by the way, if you see this card up here and you're like, what is this? It's from AuthorDex. This is 50 marketing superpowers to help you grow your books, turn your ideas into six-figure income. You can get the digital version for free on authorsidekick.com, and you can hold the physical cards like me. They are coming in Monday officially now. So we should be shipping out Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. They should all be shipped out by end of day Wednesday. And you should be getting your cards in the very near future if you back the Kickstarter. If you didn't back the Kickstarter, then you can buy them anytime in the future. We'll do our best to always keep a lot in inventory. We have plenty of inventory now. I'm not worried about selling out anytime soon. So now let's dive into AEO or answer engine optimization. Let me just start up at the top saying that we haven't act I don't actually know if this is going to be the established word in the future. Like at the time of recording, this seems to be what more people are saying, answer engine optimization. Answer engine optimization makes more sense to me intuitively. With that said, there's a chance that this becomes GEO in the future or generative engine optimization. So for now, if someone's talking about GEO, assume they're also talking about AEO. And likewise, if they're talking about AEO, they also kind of are talking about GEO. There's even, funnily enough, a generative engine optimization conference happening in Austin, in Texas, July 18th. It's a very small event. I'm not recommending you go. It's a lot of money. I think if you're like genuinely trying to build a business in this space, that it's like worthwhile. For most authors, as you'll hear me share soon, I'm not convinced this channel is going to be important enough to like really warrant investing in at this scale. But with that said, AEO is when ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, Gemini, any other search tools displays recommendations for products, experiences, services, and yes, books directly generated by the AI. Here's what I mean by that. When you ask a search engine now, like traditionally, if you were to ask Google, hey, Google, what are some good places to eat? It's going to display a bunch of places to eat in order of how the search engine ranks it. They're not going out and answering it for you. It's just basically like a library, and it's taking an index and it's sharing with you the index, right? So think about traditional search like a library. It's going to go find you the answer. Search through all the stacks of links and show you the links you're most likely to enjoy. AEO or answer engine optimization is different. Think about it as if you ask a library for a book and say, hey, I'm looking for this type of book. And it goes, great. And then actually just makes the book for you. That's kind of what answer engines do, right? You ask for something, and instead of showing you where the answer is, it gives you the answer. And what's interesting about this is it generates the answer itself, right? Which leads to some novel, unpredictable properties, right? Answer engines are less predictable than search engines because search engines index existing information. Answer engines create new information based on existing information. So that's where it gets really interesting. And what we're seeing now is that in addition to like generating answers, they're also generating product recommendations. So very similar, and we'll talk more about this, as if you're like almost talking to a friend, right? Or asking a friend for a product recommendation. And right now, you can sign up for this right now, at least be on the wait list. There's a sort of search product discovery where you can kind of feed ChatGPT information about your product and you'll be more likely to show up. They'll index you best in their product discovery results. You know, if someone asks for, let's say, a coffee machine or espresso machine, right? They can start to list these options. And same thing will be true for books. So I recommend signing up for the wait list because it literally can't hurt to be in the loop of what's going on. And my sense is that this will be a very good idea to at least list your book here. If you have any takeaway from this call that's actionable, it's that you should probably at least make sure your product and your stories are discoverable by AI. And this is one emerging way to do it that is going to be rolling out soon. So get on that wait list so you're prepared. Now, before we actually dive into a little bit more of the nuances of answer engines, I want to talk about like how big these are, right? There's 1 billion messages sent daily on ChatGPT right now, which is just kind of mind-blowing. It's still not quite as big as how much Google search queries there are a day, but it's big. There's a roughly like 8 billion-ish Google search queries a day. So that's just also another wild stat. But there's 800 million weekly users of ChatGPT, which is also insane. Like Facebook has like between like Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, et cetera, there's like maybe 3.5 billion weekly, or sorry, weekly to monthly active users, right in that range. So 800 million is like quite an absurd scale. It's one of the most used apps ever, and certainly in the world right now. With that said, though, SEO is not dying because a small portion of requests to ChatGPT actually meet like what a traditional search request looks like. And I'll show you some graphs that display this a little bit more. But think of ChatGPT as a more additive. People are still spending time with Google. Google search requests are decreasing, though. I don't want to pretend that SEO is thriving, but SEO is not dying. Instead, I would think this a lot more like how a reader asks a friend for books, right? Like when you go, "Hey, Johnny, what's your favorite fantasy novel? Do you have any favorite epic fantasy series you've read recently?" And Johnny goes, "Yeah, I have this book, this book, this book." ChatGPT feels a lot more like word of mouth. And the relationship it has is also more intimate because you're asking ChatGPT more nuanced things, having deeper conversations with it, going back and forth. And that back and forth, I mean, a lot of people literally develop friendships with it. No one was saying, like, "Oh my God, Google, my best friend." People get like relationships, always attached to ChatGPT, which is kind of weird, but it's also like expected when you have something that's like intimate like this. So I would think about it a lot more like how we interact with friends, and that ChatGPT is kind of like a substitute for word of mouth or similar to it. Now, what's interesting is that your friend ChatGPT tends to know a lot of different websites and has a lot of different recommendations for you. And ChatGPT alone is sending traffic to 30,000 unique domains each month, which is really, really interesting. So let's see some of the impact here. Veo is a basically an app that makes it easy to build web apps. So it's for developers. You can imagine a lot more software developers. They're more technology open. They're going to be using ChatGPT a lot more than like the average population. But it's crazy that in March, ChatGPT was referring 4.8% of Vercel signups. 6 months before that, it was less than 1%. And now, flash forward just a month later to April, this is of 2025, and 10% of new Vercel signups are coming from ChatGPT. Now, like I said, developers, software developers in particular, are uptaking ChatGPT faster and earlier than other kind of industries and other types of folks. But this is happening everywhere with tons of different product categories. Just one example, and it is wild. Now, we can see here another kind of graph in sort of the usage of ChatGPT, right? In April of 2025, ChatGPT grew by 13%, which is crazy. month over month. Traffic is up 200% close to year over year. Basically, every other traffic sources was down month over month. Facebook, less people are visiting. Instagram, slightly less people are visiting. Reddit, slightly less people are visiting. X had, a sort of drop off. So it's kind of wild. Like ChatGPT is eating up a lot of attention spent elsewhere on the internet because candidly, we already spend so much time on our phones, so much time on our computers. Like they're all these big apps are competing with each other at this point. We don't have other time to spend elsewhere. Like this is it. We're spending every hour we can on the computer. Therefore, ChatGPT is eating away at a lot of different things. So now we get to the question. I mean, ChatGPT is becoming like a major platform for connection online, and it is becoming a product discovery platform, and we're seeing evidence of this. So the answer is, how much will this matter for authors? And to put it straight, SEO, search engine optimization, historically wasn't that useful for authors. I mean, how many authors do you know who got big because they did really well on Google? I don't think I know a single one. That isn't to say that there isn't opportunity in SEO, but it never had a huge impact on publishing. So all this to say that I'm skeptical about AEO. And I'm creating this presentation to show you where the future is going, to show you what's happening, and to give you my honest thoughts, my honest, unbiased, just tell it how it is. And I don't think AEO is going to be a massive discovery channel. And after using it, I actually have some concerns with that it's good. It's actually very good, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be a tough cookie to crack for the average author. So I think there's one crucial difference between SEO and AEO. Like when we look at it, like traditionally, like search was not a great way people found books, at least through Google. Amazon search engine optimization is kind of like the one exception. Like KDP Rocket, right? Software publisher Rocket built around helping you optimize for search on Amazon. And honestly, I still don't think Amazon search is a massive place for book discovery. Like that's been more useful. There's also organic benefits to optimizing for search on Amazon. But regardless, again, SEO was never a massive channel. It wasn't a channel that was as big as like also bots or Facebook ads or TikTok, but it was significant enough to at least be a channel. I think AEO is going to be bigger. Okay, I don't think it's going to be massive. It might be massive. I don't think it's going to be smaller than SEO though. I actually think it's going to be more significant because people are developing trust with AI at a very deep level, right? These AI chatbots. And I think that like how this works will be a lot closer to how dark social works. Dark social is DMs online, communities and Discord groups that like you wouldn't traditionally have access or visibility into, and your book being shared there. Word of mouth is kind of similar. It's just like people talking to each other, typically in real life, but this also can like work over texting and Messenger as well. So I think it's a lot similar to that. Like we're going to something we trust, a community, a friend of people, or now AI chatbots, and asking them, hey, what book should we read? What do you think? So with all this said, let's assume that AEO will matter and already does. What should you do? Let's assume that it matters. Okay. Mind you, I'm trying to mute your expectations. Probably not going to change your life. Probably not going to blow up using AEO, but let's assume that it does matter. What should you do? So this is what's really interesting about ChatGPT to me. And ChatGPT, I'm using interchangeably for Perplexity, for Claude. The data is pretty similar, but most people are using ChatGPT. It's the most commonly used AI tool by like quite a wide margin. And this is what I found so fascinating. The average length, right? The average length of a query to Google is 4.2 words, right? That makes sense. I mean, in fact, it feels almost short to me, but I guess it does make sense. Like I type pretty short things into Google. The average length of a ChatGPT message is 23 words. So there's a lot more room for context here, a lot more word for nuance. And that it's not necessarily even competing with SEO always, more than it's like a totally new channel for having these different types of conversations and discovering books different ways. Think about it on Amazon. You might type into Amazon like romantic suspense, right? That's a common keyword typed into Amazon. Are you gonna just type to ChatGPT romantic suspense? No. You're gonna be like, I'm looking for a book similar to these that has these tropes and that can make me feel this type of way, or is this length? Right? So that's a totally different user experience, right? And I always like to think readers first, right? When we think about readers first, how we interact with the answer engines is fundamentally different than we interact with any other piece of tech. We don't even search into TikTok nuance, things like that, right? So that level of nuance that we're providing to these answer engines is much more similar to the level of nuance that we're going in different Facebook groups, that's dark social, and word of mouth, and like asking friends about. It's very similar to how we talk to a friend. So what's really interesting is that there's tools that exist now that actually allow you to prompt major AI chatbots and answer engines on a recurring basis. And a lot of the tools that exist are like enterprise focused, honestly, super expensive, absolutely not worth it for a solopreneur, never mind an author. It's just not worth it. But I found an exception, and I want to share that exception with you because it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. It's called tracker.ai. It's free for now. So apologies if you're watching this in the future. It might not be free anymore, but they're in beta right now and they're totally free. So that's tracker, TrakKKR.ai. If you go to this website, you get to basically select a set of prompts. And you can see here my screenshot. You get to then have these prompts that you decide you want to basically do competitive analysis or analysis on your own sort of mentions of your product. And for me, it's like list the top 10 science fiction fantasy book series you read in 2025. What are some popular editions of popular fantasy novels? Give me 10 leading authors known for imaginative storytelling and sci-fi fantasy. I think these are pretty good prompts. I think there's even room for you to come up with better prompts to feed it, and you can change these over time because you want these prompts to closely mirror what you think readers are typing into chat, right? So whatever they're typing into ChatGPT, you want to closely mirror these. So here's where the interesting thing happens. You give Tracker these prompts. Again, totally free. You can only select up to five, though, so there's a limit. And then where it gets really interesting is it will prompt Claude, Perplexity, Gemini, ChatGPT, and even some other AI models like Grok, and it will give you the answers that those AI models had for your prompt. So if you prompt it, give me books similar to XYZ, and it comes back with your book, that's awesome. That means these models, when someone prompts it, like you have visibility in these models. Like that's a pretty cool thing. That doesn't mean someone's always going to get your book when they are answered that, because remember, these models are generative, they are probabilistic. So not always going to say the same thing, but it's obviously a good sign if you're showing up on a random prompt. And what's great about something like Tracker is they're prompting these things on a weekly basis. So you're able to continually send new prompts and observe over time patterns in you being mentioned and kind of seeing if your brand and product and your stories are mentioned at a similar level. And over time, hopefully they're able to increase in mentions based on these prompts. So that's super, super cool. You can also see what else is being mentioned, right? Sort of competitive analysis and see, oh, okay, like this is actually the science fiction book ranking, or this is, what's happening. And that's equally interesting. So now we get to like kind of like more of the meat of it, right? Which is, how does AI actually recommend books? And the answer is no one really knows, including myself. But based on my experience of reading a metric weird amount of articles online and also going through and using this a lot myself, I'm most certain about this. A lot of researchers have written about how these models are made and what they're trained on. And it seems like being mentioned in source documents, LLM site, is really important. Essentially, LLMs have to crawl the internet just like a search engine would. And they're not going to know your story exists if they've never been told it does, which makes a lot of sense. So that's the first thing. Like, most certainly, if your book is not mentioned in any form of, a source document or any training data that the LLMs use, then you won't be recommended. So that's the thing I'm most certain about. Everything else, I'm less certain on. It seems like the metadata of the story is used to predict the likelihood or the sort of relevance of a story based on the user's prompt. So having solid metadata, which you probably already know this, it's useful. It's useful in this world of this as well. But the thing that I'm pretty muddy on, but pretty convinced is actually a bigger factor, is mentions on social media, mentions by trusted publications, and other readers talking about your story online in spaces that the LLMs have scraped from. And this one is where it gets hard because it's like, oh, it's actually throwing you over the edge sometimes. It's just the popularity of your book. Like, for instance, I asked chat, like, list the top 10 science fiction and fantasy book series to read in 2025. And you can see what it ranked. I mean, pretty much all of these, for the most part, are very heavy on trad published, very heavy on series that are already popular. Like, I'm trying to think of like one that I don't even know about that I'm seeing on this list. Like the Witcher series, I think I don't know about, at least ahead of time. But then I'm pretty confident that that's actually a TV series based on like a series of books. So like, I'm pretty sure if it's got a TV series that it's pretty popular, just for some reason I'd never heard of it. But pretty much everything else here I'm like well aware of, and it's not new to me, which means that chat's pulling from like very popular stories already and kind of perpetuating the power law, right? Like one of the toughest things is like when a book's sold a lot, it can get a lot of word of mouth, and therefore it can kind of like more easily stay popular. And it seems like chat is perpetuating that here. I'm going to show you my conversation with ChatGPT, and we're going to dive in, and I'll show you how this is seems to be where things are at. But I'm going to give you my lessons up front before we actually dive into my prompts. And my lessons are this: abstract and vague prompts is where LLMs excel, right? So book recommendations are often abstract and vague. And what's really wild is that I actually think Chat was pretty good at his book recommendation. That's my takeaway as a reader. Like, it gave pretty solid recommendations. So I have high confidence that ChatGPT will continue to become extremely popular for readers looking for books. Will it become a bigger channel than Facebook ads or, also bots on Amazon or TikTok? I'm not confident about that. But will it become an important channel? Yeah, I'm pretty certain of that. Now, what's tough is ChatGPT recommends traditionally published books and/or bestsellers 80% of the time. So for now, this channel seems to be one where the rich are getting richer. But here's the sort of hack here. These are large language models. And we can actually use language as a weapon and carve out our own category. So LLMs make you know, the trusted default in a category. So if you're going to be talking about top, if you're just going for like science fiction book recs, right, and having people prompt that. When readers prompt science fiction, you've got a very tough competition to rank for that. You've got a really tough competition to be mentioned for romanticism. But if we can carve out genres where the language that is used, that readers are prompting the LLM, is unique to your story, we get to do something really interesting. So if you're able to kind of carve out a category and solve a unique kind of reader experience where we know there's demand for this. So, for instance, like maybe I write small town or romances set in cities in my city, Cincinnati. If anyone wants a romance set in Cincinnati, if I'm putting that in my metadata, making sure I'm big about that in my reviews, maybe even I title it that, it could become like a much higher probability that you're recommended with those answers by chat. So essentially, you might not be able to rank for like the really overall broad request that people are sending into chat. But the good thing is that a lot of these requests readers are putting in are nuanced and they're very, very contextual. So you actually get to thrive by winning in the niches and using language as a weapon to basically make the language of your story and the branding and the metadata specific so that when readers come in with those specific requests, chat knows to recommend you. Now, I promised I'd show you my actual ChatGPT conversation. And that's what we're going to do right now because I think there's a lot to learn from how ChatGPT recommends books. So, we had a quite a bit of back and forth, and I'm gonna scroll through this. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not super fast, but I don't want to, spend an hour reading through all of it. But when we go here, we can start to see, our conversation. And I asked Chat, "Hey Chat, I'm looking for some science fiction books to read that feature AI and near future technology." And it shares me some books. And I recommend, I did this at first to kind of get a gut test because I'm like, how good is the AI recommending books? Because I know this subgenre really well. Gives me Neuromancer, gives me Clara and the Sun, gives me Autonomous by Anna Leibovitz, which, by the way, this book, Autonomous by Anna Leibovitz, is freaking fantastic. Warehouse by Rob Hart. This, I believe, is an indie author. Another great book. Machines Like The Every by Dave Eggers, Sea of Tranquility, which really shocking. It was like really good. These are very, very good recommendations. Like if I had never read one of these books, like these are all like great places to start. The thing is, they're all already very popular. They didn't give me niche recommendations, which again, we see this on Amazon. When we ask Amazon for things, it shows us the popular books. It's tough, right? So not obvious with AEO how you're going to be mentioned as just someone who's getting started, right? So I ask it now, give me more action-packed ones. Okay. Gives me Daniel Suarez, which is a very popular author. If you don't know Daniel Suarez, he's very popular in this space. Then gives me Altered Carbon, which has a TV show made about it. Quantum Thief, pretty popular book as well. Red Rising, which was a huge hit. And then more Daniel Suarez and Ian M. Banks. So we're all like very popular authors, right? So now I said, can you recommend me published books by any authors? Because I'm feeling a little frustrated. I'm like, y'all, you keep giving me trad authors or mostly trad authors. Like, let's get into our indies. So then it gives me A.G. Riddle, who is the best-selling science fiction author who's indie, except for maybe Wool sold more by Hugh Howey. But watch, it'll recommend me Hugh's books, which I love Hugh. All these are great. I mean, A.G. Riddle is amazing. But then it gives me Rick Partlow's Contact Front. Another indie, so it's actually doing really well. Like it's recommending me indies. I believe Marco Close is also an indie. I know Douglas is an indie, and Douglas is great. This is where it actually knows like traditionally published but originally famous, which is like really cool that it knows this. And I also want to say it's doing a pretty good job at like getting the premises down right as well. Like it's impressive. I don't know what they mean by originally indie famous. Like I thought Blake was always trad published, but now I'm like, is chat right? I guess I have to look that into it. But then we got Raymond, J.S. Morin, which I actually didn't know J.S. Morin. So that's for me like news. So that's great. I finally feel like I got like a good nicher book rec. But in reality, when you actually look up Extinction Reverse, it has sold pretty well. But to me, at least, like again, from a reader experience, my God, am I learning. As someone who has read sci-fi for the last decade plus and loves it and knows so many authors in the genre, for me to be learning like new stories to me is like really, really cool. So again, from a reader experience, like I'm liking it a lot. Now we keep going. M.A. Rothman, he's a classic in the genre. Okay, cool. So that's that. Now I go, let's switch it up. Give me some dark romance. It's give me H.G. Carlton, L.J. Shen, K.A. Knight. I mean, these are like some of the biggest authors, right? Sarah Kate. Incredible books. Again, great books. Now, these are recommending a lot more indies because it seems to be not that chat has a bias towards trad authors, but has a bias towards the books that have dominated genres. That's what it seems to be, right? And it seems to know what's being mentioned the most online, almost like it intuitively knows what's selling well or has sold well on Amazon. So, again, just interesting to observe this because, again, this is not a list dominated by trad authors now. Just so happens that dark romance happens to be mostly indie, which is cool. But these books are huge. I mean, like Ammo Jones, massive author. These are like not like, people who are just getting started, put it that way. But again, it's getting the tropes down well. Even you can notice here, right? When I ask for dark romance, it's giving me the tropes and the premise. I ask for sci-fi and it's just giving me the premise. Isn't that so funny? Like it knows that, which is why, and I'm not even giving it that much, which is why it's actually unbelievably impressive at recommending books. And again, like ranking in this, it seems like you just want to carve out a genre, dominate the genre, and then you're just going to benefit from chat, which is like, it's so depressing to hear that. But again, outside of using tools like Tracker to monitor this and see what niche prompts you're ranking for, it's tough to imagine how you're just going to break into this, right? So that's the good thing to know. We have to use language as a weapon. So we'll keep going. I'm not going to do this forever, but I think there's a lot of interesting things here. So it gives me, when I ask for what are some lesser known titles, because I'm like, give me titles that are like known by less people, right? And I think it also did actually a very good job at this. My only thing with this is that how many people are typing in a chat, I want titles that are recommended, like that fewer people have read on average. The answer is probably not many, but here's the problem. There Are No Saints by Sophie Lark has 111,000 reviews on Amazon. I think Sophie Lark's amazing. I also don't think she's lesser known necessarily. I mean, maybe than H.D. Carlton, because like obviously she's like beyond crushed it. Chantal Tessier, who is again lesser known in this case, The Ritual has 300,000 reviews. So she sold easily over a million copies of that book, millions. So I don't know if that's lesser known. So chat again, you're giving me great book recs, but you're not gonna give me, I don't know who's gonna be typing this in to begin with, if I'm being honest with you. But even if they do type it in, they're not finding lesser book recs. Confidence of Wildfire is kind of like the least. It's like 50,000 reviews. Jennifer Hartman's Still Beating, that's like her biggest book. Anything by LG Shen's not lesser known. So it's just chat seems to not be able to find very well your run-of-the-mill books. And that's sad. That's sad because that means that, again, the power law. The power law is just being distributed here. Chat seems to be mimicking culture. Chat understands where culture's at, and it's spitting back at you the things doing really well in culture now. So you have basically one option to succeed in answer engine optimization, which is to create culture and to actually dictate it and to lead it so that when people type something to chat, you become the default answer because, oh, there's this new genre of, I don't know, maybe it's, I'll just come up with something stupid. It's not an actual genre. Maybe we have blue romance. Or sweetgrass blues romance, combining music and romance together. I don't know. And you become the default for that. And then chat just recommends you forever, right? Like that's what we want because, again, it's recommending really popular titles. Now I ask it better for clean books. It's giving me good clean books and it's doing really, really well for the most part. And it's also hitting the tropes because we're still in romance land. Then I'm asking for beach summer reads. It's giving Mary Alice Monroe, who my mom loves, Ellen Hildebrand. It's giving all the classics, but these are again really, really popular people, not exactly, something that feels easy to break into. And I keep going because my chat goes on for quite a while, but you get the point. You get the idea. And again, the takeaway goes back to how to make the most of this is to grow using existing reader growth engines, which let me find the reader growth engines card. The reader growth engines card is, oh my God, right? Nope, not right there. I'm gonna find it. The Reader Growth Engines card. It's in these cards. It's somewhere, and it's yellow. I know that because it's command power, or it's an expansion power. Excuse me. There we go. Here we go. Here we go. I skipped it over. I skipped over the one I wanted. I guess I'm getting camera fright or something. Let's see. Paid ad system, preview phone, visibility cloak, launch code. Oh my God. No, I can't. This is not going. Where did the reader growth engines go? Well, it's somewhere. I just can't find it right now, which is ironic and sad. Oh wait. Ah, it was shuffled out of order. It was the one yellow card, not the rest of the yellow ones. So reader growth engines. This is the ways that you can like really grow scalably. And it's paid advertising, content marketing, and collaborations. We did a whole workshop on it 2 months ago. It's a lot of fun. I recommend listening to that workshop because you are a member of Author Sidekick Plus. And that is really your channel to grow using a reader growth engine. And then once you do so, you have these other things benefiting you. Now, ChatGPT being yet another thing to perpetuate the bestsellers. So climb to the top of the charts, and your life maybe got a little bit easier staying there now. Because if more and more readers are going to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is just recommending the top books, then there we go. With that said, these LLMs are going to adjust; they're going to change over time, and this whole recommendation system and how they surface products might change. And one of the ways that might happen is with product search and discovery through chat. So definitely get on that wait list so that you can list your book and make sure your stories and other products are discoverable by ChatGPT. And otherwise, that was it for this workshop. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I'm excited for June. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but we got a month till then, so I'll figure it out between now and then. In the meantime, I hope everyone has an amazing rest of the day. And as always, don't forget, together, we are boundless.